Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Last night, I'm settling in because here's what I'm expecting. It's Friday night. I've got Subway Series going. And, you know, those of you who know me know I'm a big-time Met fan. And you know that I've been as, I think, objective as you could possibly be for a man in my position. This team is awful. And I love it when people like, you know, Alan Hahn and Fly Tie and, you know, several Yankee fans that I know. You know what? This Subway Series, we're a little concerned because we think the Mets are going to do some damage. And I look at them like, really? Really? So anyway, I'm settling in. Subway Series, I'm checking that out. And even though I know what's going to happen with the NBA Finals Game 4, I know Cleveland's not going to win. I know Golden State from after Game 1 was focused on sweeping the Cavaliers. Okay, so I know. I know what's going to happen. But I am at least expecting Cleveland to entertain me for the night. Okay, I'm expecting because they are competitors, they are professionals, I'm expecting them to at least come in and entertain me and make it difficult. They're not winning, I got it, they're not winning. I understand that, but I expect them to make it difficult, to make it interesting, to entertain me. I ended up watching more of the Subway Series than I did the NBA Finals. Because the Cavaliers didn't show up. They didn't start with any energy at all. They came in like, you know what? It's over. And I knew it was over. Okay, I understand that. But you have an obligation to your fans. You have an obligation to the sport. You have an obligation to yourself to come out there and say, hey, guess what? We're going to fight. We're going to give you an opportunity. We're going to give you all we got. Do I know that they are a bad defensive team? Yeah, obviously. All you had to do was watch game 1, 2, and 3. And yeah, we knew they were bad during the regular season, but they had at least stretches against Boston where they played solid defense. Stretches. At least stretches. Okay? At least stretches. But last night, they didn't care worth a darn. They went out there. They played a little bit. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous how bad they were. So I was very disappointed. Very disappointed. So then I'm saying, so I'm turning, I mean, what was it? About 30? It seemed like 50 in this. So I'm turning, I'm looking at the Subway Series. And I'm having fun with it because what I like to do is when the Subway Series, so when the Yankees are hitting, I turn to SNY. And when the Mets are hitting, I turn to Yes. Because I want to hear a different analysis from folks who don't follow the team every day. And I'm looking at the score, and the Yankees, Brandon Nimmo, gone. Home run off Tanaka. Am I surprised? No. First, I'm not surprised because Tanaka always gives up home runs. So I'm not surprised that if the Mets were to score, it was a home run. Secondly, when I saw that Nimmo hit the home run, here's what I knew. I knew that that was it. I knew that the Yankees were going to score no more runs. I mean, the Mets were going to score no more runs. That was it. It was over. It was done. Today's Around the Diamond brought to you by Volvo of Glen Cove. Let's get that out of the way. So let's talk about the Subway Series last night. Jacob DeGrom, I feel so sorry for him. And I understand that a lot of people are saying, don't trade him, don't trade him. I say, trade him. He deserves to be traded. Whatever you can get for him to build, stack up your minor league, trade him. Trade him. Okay? Let me tell you how bad the Mets are right now. They've scored 3 runs in 51 innings. When Nimmo hit his solo home run off Tanaka, get this, it was the first time the Mets led in 7 games. Seven games. In his last nine starts, Jacob DeGrom has an ERA of 0.82. His record in those games, he's 2-1. The Mets are 2-7. I'm telling you, something's got to be done. Injuries, I got it. Okay, I understand. A lot of teams have injuries. But right now, what you're seeing here is it's almost like they've given up. It's almost like they have no clue as to what's happening. It's almost like I can't explain it. I've seen some bad Met teams in my lifetime. I mean, some really bad Met teams. But this one is just anemic. They find ways to lose games. And their starting pitching, okay, has not been that bad. Their starting pitching has been pretty good. The bullpen has been the issue, okay? It's been the bullpen. Like the solo home run Giancarlo Stanton hit last night out of the bullpen. That's what's been the issue. The starters have been pretty good. Starters have been pretty good. So for me, and I understand that, you know, you want to, you something's got to be done. So for me, I'm ready to, if this team is close to this at the trade deadline, if they're close to this, then I think one of your starters has to go. And for me, it would be DeGrom. Why? Because DeGrom has 2 years left on his deal. Okay? Syndergaard's got longer. I'll keep Syndergaard. I can get a pretty good amount for DeGrom. I can at least get something with my farm system that can start to build it back up. I can get everyday, hopefully I can get an everyday player, hopefully. Now, I know there's people who say, well, I don't want to give you an everyday player for a starter because it doesn't even out. The way DeGrom is pitching, it's going to be close. It's going to be close because he's been dominant. You could argue that he's been the best pitcher in the National League. He's got a 0.82 ERA. In his last nine games, 0.82. That's less than a run a game. And he gave up three last night, two earned. Thanks, Adrian Gonzalez, for the error. Unless you thought you were trying to help the Mets out by getting Tanaka out of the game because he reaches base and then you see him running. It's like, oh, God, that doesn't look good. This could be, for me, having covered the Yankees, and I was recovering them at that time, this had Qingming Wang rounding third against Houston written all over it. It really did. I had a flashback.
The sad part about it is he wasn't rounding a base.
I know.
This was literally running in a straight line, yep. 90 feet.
Yep.
This wasn't Larry Hardesty busting out the snowblower, you coming in achy.
Yep.
I remember that night you came in talking about it.
Back was done.
This dude ran 90 feet in a straight line.
Mm-hmm. Struggling.
And he didn't even look like he knew how to run.
No. That was like, I got, and I'm listening. It's funny watching the third base coach talking to him. And he's looking and he's like, Tanaka's like, yeah. Okay. Please, can somebody get a hit so I can just jog home?
It didn't even look like he knew how to tag up.
I know. He had to go back and tell him, no, go back.
And
go.
And then you see people ripping the third base coach. Oh, why would you send him there? It was a fly ball to like a good part of right field where he should be able to score pretty easily.
He did.
That should not have been close.
And the throw was offline.
It was offline and he still almost was out.
Thank God he didn't slide. If he slid, he'd probably be done.
That had torn ACL written all
over it. He'd be done for
it.
The season if he slid. As it was, you could see him hobbling. 1-800-919-3776. We'll get your thoughts on the Subway Series. We'll get your thoughts on the NBA playoffs. That's today's Around the Diamond. It was brought to you by Volvo of Glen Cove, the number one dealer in the country. Make sure you check out their winning team at Volvo Cars Glen Cove and drive off with confidence in your new Volvo today.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Mickey Callaway on Juris Familia.
He said after the game the other night that his shoulder was bothering him a little bit, so we wouldn't have him had him checked out, and we thought it was best at this time to put him on the DL and give him a little rest.
10-day DL for Familia. Hey, Mickey Callaway, wasn't Noah Syndergaard Thor starting Sunday?
We're going to pitch Seth Lugo Sunday. Syndergaard played catch, had a little bit of swelling and a little bit of discomfort. So we had him rechecked out yesterday. And right now, a couple days off, get to give him some rest and then try to throw a bullpen probably, you know, after the off day on Monday.
And if it's not bad enough that things are going crazy injury-wise at Citi Field for the Mets, Aaron Boone's got to be concerned because he's got some guys injured too, like Masahiro Tanaka?
Just both hamstrings tightened up on him. So not sure the severity of it, really, if it's cramps or whatever. We got an IV in him when he came out of the game, and it's just kind of one of those that we'll evaluate tomorrow and see where he's at.
Then Chapman, Aroldis Chapman, looked like he strained both his hamstrings going after running out of the way as there was a ball hit as Andujar was trying to throw the runner out at first. What's up with him?
He's got a little quad knee tendonitis that he deals with on and off. Doesn't affect him throwing. Some nights it's a little harder for him to move around is all, but not a big deal.
Oh, man. Tune in tonight and see who's still around for the Mets and Yankees.
I mean, it's funny because wasn't Aroldis Chapman just sprinting just a few games ago?
That's right.
I mean, and he didn't need to.
Nope.
And then everybody was laughing. And I guess it kind of makes sense why everybody was laughing now. If he's got this quad problem, now he's running all over the place.
Yeah, now he's hobbling all over the place. And, you know, as if the and still, let's face it. If you're a Yankee fan, I want to hear from you, too, at 1-800-919-3777. You got 18 losses. I'm so sorry. We need a pitcher. What? You don't need a pitcher to the postseason. You can score enough runs. I mean, I'm listening to people go, get Domingo Herman out of the rotation. He's not good. He's awful. He gives up too many runs. Stop it. He's like your fourth or fifth starter. Relax. He's the fifth starter. If this was the postseason, he would never pitch. Jordan Montgomery, I understand you'd like to have him in the rotation. I got it. Pitching is a premium. I understand that. He's the fifth guy. Fourth or fifth, he's not pitching in the postseason. You need another postseason guy. You got time for that. Right now, just continue to hit. Are you concerned about the Red Sox? Yes, I get it. I get it. But you'll worry about them later. I know, 4th of July week, you'll deal with the Red Sox. What are you, 32-9 over your last 41 games? Stop. Relax. The regular season means nothing. All you have to do for the regular season is just stay healthy as you can, and win games and win series. And that's what the Yankees have done consistently. They have won series after series after series. That's what they do. That's how you win games. And as for the Met fans, I told you guys earlier, when they were 11-1, what did I tell you? Relax. They're not winning 11 out of every 12 games they play. They're not that good. There's somewhere that now, if everybody stayed healthy, could they have qualified for one of the wild cards? Yeah, if all the pitching stayed healthy, they probably could have. They probably could have. But the pitching hasn't stayed healthy, and God knows the hitting hasn't stayed healthy. And I understand the criticism of Sandy Alderson. I get it. Sandy Alderson has struggled. I understand the moves he made have not worked out. But in theory, we weren't complaining when they brought Jay Bruce back. Because he was supposed to be he was supposed to provide production and protection for Cespedes. He played well in the outfield before they traded him to Cleveland, and he hit well. Okay? He was supposed to be that guy. Because here's what we knew as Met fans. Cespedes was going to take a vacation once or twice during the season. He's on vacation now. He'll be back. And guess what? He'll take another vacation probably sometime during the summer, late July, early August. He'll be out of the lineup again. So you needed to have some production to protect him and have some. You hoped that when he was injured, you'd have somebody to take over. Well, Jay Bruce has not done it. He's just not hitting. Todd Frazier doesn't hit for average. Home runs, and you liked what he could do in the clubhouse because that's what he did with the Yankees. He was great in the clubhouse. Here, there's not a lot to work with. And why Jose Reyes is still on this team, I got no idea. I understand. And Adrian Gonzalez, it was a roll of the dice. If you're upset at Adrian Gonzalez, you blame Dominic Smith. Because if Dominic Smith had come up here last year and acted and performed where you saw something that he could take you to that next level, if he came up in shape, and now he is, give him credit. I saw him up here. He looked good. But if he had come up like that last year, they would not have gone out and got Adrian Gonzalez. First base was his. Spike's in Jersey. He leads off the Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Spike.
Good morning, my friend. You're like Mighty Mouse coming out of the night to save the day.
What's up, Spike? How you
all
doing
right,
this morning?
This will be it for me until the draft. So okay. I'm honored that I could call you last, albeit it's a flip on the hours, but it's always good to hear you. First of all, in the Mets, it's like a MASH unit. That's embarrassing. Yes. That's really embarrassing. Dominic Smith last year came up. He looked like Mo Vaughn.
That's a good line.
Yeah, he did. I mean, I don't know what these guys. And you said the Chin Min Wong. I thought that was the final on what's that with Vanna White and Pat Sajak. What's that? A Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah,
that was the final say. A Yankee pitcher who got injured running the bases. Yeah. Chin Min Wong. You know,
yep.
Give me an O. It's bizarre. Just one quick comment.
Yeah. And
thank you for all the conversations during the basketball season. It's been a pleasure. LeBron James last night should not have come out with that brace on.
No.
Yeah, he just shouldn't have.
Nope.
It just unearthed a lot of stuff that bothers me about basketball. You know how much I love basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I just was bothered by that. And I said to Gordon earlier, you might have been driving in,
mm-hmm.
at Golden State is playing Cleveland like the Yankees are playing the Mets.
Yeah.
That's the spread, Larry, and that's the unfortunate part. But there's a lot of separation with the better teams, the better organizations. Now, the Yankees always bring up ready players, and the Mets bring up guys. I don't know where they get these guys from. I know you're a diehard Mets fan, and it's going to be a long season. The 11-1 we knew was fictitious.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So you just enjoy the show. I'll enjoy listening, and I'll talk to you. The draft's what, in 2 weeks?
Yep, draft's in 2 weeks, so we'll talk then. Maybe we'll have something to cheer about with the Knicks. Maybe they'll get somebody that's like, yay.
Well, I tell you, I heard a couple of references either on your show or Hans or somebody. So I heard a reference to Emmanuel Mudiay, and that ruined my night's sleep. So I nothing against the guy. Again,
no,
I always pre-qualify that saying.
Mm-hmm.
I like all these young men, but I don't want to see him on the roster, Larry.
I understand.
All right. You have a great day.
Thanks, Spike. Thanks for the phone call. 1-800-919-3776. Let me squeeze Wayne in from Flatbush. What's up, Wayne?
What's going on, Larry? Saving the day on Saturday morning.
What's up, Wayne?
What
you doing in Fun City, Brooklyn this morning?
Well, listen, I drive professionally. You know, I drive for the ride sharing thing. So
okay.
I just had me some breakfast at Junior's this morning.
All right.
I'm driving around, and then I said, wait a minute, Larry's on the phone. I gotta call in, man. You're a big change. No offense to Dave. But I love hearing you in the morning, my man. I really do.
Thank you, Wayne.
And then you made me almost lose my breakfast. I didn't know you were a Met fan.
I'm a Met fan, Wayne. And I admit it. How about that? I'm admitting it. I'm a Met fan.
Hey, listen, that's what a fan is.
Yep.
A fan rides with the team when they're good or bad. Lord knows, Larry, I'm a Knicks fan.
Oh, me too.
A Knicks fan. I can't listen. No matter how bad they are, I gotta ride with them.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do.
Speaking of basketball, Larry.
Yep.
Remember what I told you? I said the last game that I'm gonna watch is gonna be the last game of the season. I watched last night's game along with the Subway Series had one of those places.
Mm-hmm.
So and I'm gonna say this to you. LeBron James is, I feel sorry for LeBron James, and then again, LeBron James get everything that he deserved. I feel sorry for him because he really gave his blood, sweat, and tears in this particular series, and this season, actually. And I'll be honest with you, his age, I think, is starting to show. I mean, he's played in the year, he's played in the league 15 years. I don't care. And, you know, he hardly misses any game.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you this, man, he may not be the best free agent that you may want to sign. I mean, you may think I'm nuts, But I think he may have maybe one or more 2 years left in him. You know, his body is going to, his body, no matter how good it is, the body can also take so much. You see what happened to Carmelo Anthony?
Yeah.
Even though they're the same age.
Yeah, no lift.
Carmelo Anthony is not even close,
Wayne. Not even close. Thanks for the phone call, my friend. Stay safe out there driving. You're right. And when you consider that LeBron has played so many minutes this year, he's got a lot of minutes playoff on that playoff, a lot of playoff minutes on his body, and he's got even more after this year.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Can Elman drop that ERA more against a struggling Met team? Or will this Met team string some hits together because they are due? Okay, they're due. I don't know how they're going to do it. I really don't. I know how it's going to get done with the way they have struggled offensively. I mean, what were they? Something, I think I saw a stat somewhere. They're, what, 1-for-24? 1-for-their-last-24 with runners in scoring position? It's not going to get it done. Back to you on the phones. We're talking Subway Series. We're talking NBA. We're talking to you. 1-800-919-3776. Taj is in the story. Taj, you're next on the Dave Rothenberg Show. Hey, Taj. Taj, you there? Bye, Taj. Mike's in Mount Vernon. What's up, Mike?
Yo, what's up? What's up, Dave? Yo, long time listener. I love your show. Love your show.
Dave says thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Listen, listen, listen. I'm so glad that I was listening to that live caller talking about the Mets, talking about they need to smoke crack. Listen, man. They just need to throw a bomb in that whole organization and just start from scratch. Let the young boys play and get some energy into it. Anyway, besides that, LeBron, real quick, is great. He has no killer instinct that everybody's getting at him. Now, why does he have to come out and say his hand was broke now at the end when he gets swept? This is the reason why I say I can't understand his mental and everything, but he is a great player. We are witnessing greatness, like, right now. Like, you understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
When we was watching Kobe, we watched greatness.
Yep.
Like, now, like Charles Barkley said, he has done this to himself, started his super team, and, you know, is biting him in his butt now. But at the same time, we got to look forward to the future now. What do you think? Where do you think he's going to go? Me, personally, I want to say Houston because I feel like that's the easiest way for him to get there because he has scorers that can have him having some help because these guys was the worst team that I've ever seen. Even I'd rather have Boogie Gibson on the team. Like, I'm not even trying to play his game, but, like, seriously, these I couldn't believe what was going on. Like, they looked like – I think the Mount Vernon High School team could have beat them at that time. I'm telling you, bro. Like, they was looking horrible out there. And J.R. Smith is a good player, but like I said, that play, it literally took him out of the whole series, and LeBron needed way more help. I don't understand why Hood wasn't playing more. Like, LeBron is gone. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I'm going to tell you this, Mike. Thanks for the phone call. I don't see LeBron staying in Cleveland because with the way their salary cap is structured, who's he going to bring in to get better? Who that's going to be a better all-star? Who's he going to bring in? They don't have they are so salary cap. They're paying luxury tax forever.
Yeah, the salary cap's at $99 million. They're at about $137.
Exactly. You know, and he's got guys under contract. George Hill's back next year. Kyle Korver's back next year. I mean, yeah, you want to see.
Tristan Thompson's on a max deal.
You know, Rodney Hood, okay, you want to see maybe he can develop. That's a possibility. Clarkson, maybe that's a possibility. But these are guys, you know, these aren't all-stars. Maybe they will become all-stars. But if you're 33 and you've been in the league 15 years and you just finished a season where you played every single regular season game and every single postseason game and you logged the most minutes out of anybody in the NBA, you're looking for a year off next year. You're looking for a nice place where you can just fit in. You know what you want to be if you're LeBron? You want to be Kevin Durant. You want to go to a team where, okay, I got Steph's working, you know, Klay Thompson's working. Oh, you need me? okay, you guys are off. I can shoot. Okay, bip, he's 36. Here's a quick 36 for you. Bip, just like that. That's where LeBron wants to go. That's where he needs to go, a situation like that. Is Houston that situation? Can you Harden, Paul, LeBron? I don't see that. I don't see Harden. Maybe.
And plus, they'd have to gut their roster.
Yeah.
You can't keep all those guys.
No. Well, listen, Trevor Ariza is already trying to go to Golden State.
Oh, yeah, that is the rumor.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, excuse me. Hello? Like I'll play. I'll
that's
go.
That's kind of weak, though.
I'll go. He's like, listen, hey, I went seven. Durant went seven. He went. We went seven. I'll go. Go. Hey, I'm out.
Ariza's already won a championship, too.
I know.
He won in 2010 with the Lakers.
Yep.
Well, 2009 with the Lakers.
2009 with the Lakers, yes. He's like, hey. So I know everybody's not coming back. Excuse me. I'll take David West's spot if he don't come back. 1-800-919-3776. Samson, Connecticut. What's up, Sam?
Hey, Larry. Thanks for taking the call. I got dropped the last time. I apologize.
Yeah, we couldn't hear you. Go ahead.
Always great to hear you on the radio. I know it's Dave's show, and I love hearing him, but I probably would have been too scared to call if it was him. So I figured he'd yell at me for my thoughts.
Nah, he's not going to yell at you all the time. Go ahead.
I know you asked about the Mets. Mm-hmm. In 30 seconds or less, my opinion is this. When did this season end for the Mets? I think it ended last season. And who do you think who do I think they should fire? I think they should fire the trainers.
Sam, they did. This is a whole new group. This is a whole new group of trainers and doctors. They're all new.
Well, then it's the front office that hired these guys, I guess. I don't know. But the real reason I called was this. We're talking so much about LeBron. We're talking so much about the finals last night. You mentioned it, that KD just walked into a team and he's a piece that really, you know, comes in Steph, you do the work. Clay, you do the work. And, I'll step in and drop 36. And that's exactly how I feel. And I really feel like Steph kind of might have gotten robbed last night. I think Steph might have earned MVP for the series.
Mm-hmm.
He had, KD had led the points in the series by, like, I think 4 or 6 across all 4 games. And mainly that was because he did such a great, amazing performance on Game 3. But Steph led the Dubs on Game 2 and Game 4. And I would mention, opine that I think the Game 2 was so important to come back after that, almost losing. They really should have lost Game 1.
Mm-hmm.
When Steph came back and dropped, 9 for 11 threes, led the Warriors to make sure he showed them whose court it was, really demoralized them. I think, Game 2, losing by that much, losing that badly, really reset the momentum much more in the Warriors and put KD in a position where he could shoot the way he shot and almost go point for point, with LeBron's performance earning 50 in Game 1. KD comes back and earns over 40 in Game 3. But the real point was that he came back last night, and he led the team on the closeout game to make sure that they didn't even give LeBron any hope.
Yeah.
And, and one of the really important things that, it's not a stat anybody talks about, but they put it up on the TV, and I think it might be really important, which is before last night's game, they put up a stat that was the Warriors were shooting something like 76% off of passes from Steph Curry.
Yeah.
I mean, he was setting up everybody on the team. It wasn't necessarily. And if you tell me the two of them together scored 160 something points or something, or 120 something points each across 4 games, I think they're both really, really neck and neck. But I think if you talk to me about MVP, most valuable player across the series,
mm-hmm.
I think it was Steph, and I think he earned it last night. And I think he kind of got robbed. And I think also if you looked at him real close, I think he felt like he got robbed a little bit.
And you know what, Sam? Thanks for the phone call. I think even Kevin Durant looked like a little uncomfortable, like he really wanted to give it to Steph Curry. If you voted for Steph Curry, or if you voted for Kevin Durant, then Steph Curry for you lost it in Game 3 with his poor shooting, even though he hit a key 3 late. even though he hit a key three late in the game, he probably, to most people, lost the MVP in Game 3 with his shooting percentage, Steph Curry.
That's where the only reason why he was able, he was in position to hit that key three was because Durant carried them the entire game.
Exactly. That's where he lost it.
He led them in points, led them in rebounds, led them in field goal percentage. You know, he hit the biggest shot of the series. He also, in Game 1, hit the game-tying free throws. And he did all of that while mostly guarding LeBron James.
Yep.
So he had to be their best rim protector as well. So he led them in pretty much every statistical category except assists.
Mm-hmm.
And he hit the biggest shot of the series.
He did.
Well-deserved.
It was. You know, now it was close, but you Steph Curry lost it in Game 3. Lost it in Game 3 with that
and I guess it came down to
performance.
So Steph Curry had the poor performance in Game 3.
Yep.
A lot of people say Durant had the poor performance in Game 1 when he shot 8 for 22.
Mm-hmm.
So which one was worse? Steph going, what, 1 for 11 from 3 and scoring 11 points? Or Durant going 8 for 22 but still scoring 26? Which was the worst performance?
Yeah.
And that probably decided it right there.
Absolutely.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Before I get back to you, did you hear Steve Kerr's postgame last night? Did you hear him? He was asked how tough it was to get back to back-to-back championships. 3 times in 4 years.
Absolutely. There were doubts. The last month of the season was really difficult, and I was hoping we were going to be able to turn it up once the playoffs started, because we did not begin this run in a good way in terms of where we were as a group. I think we lost, you know, 10 of our last 17, which more than anything was an indication of just how long this journey has been for us.
Hey, Steph Curry, is this a dynasty team?
No idea. Not for me to answer that question. I just know what we've been able to accomplish is really meaningful and something that not many players have been able to experience. So wherever that puts us in the conversation in the history of the NBA or, you know, titles around dynasty and all that type of stuff, I'm a 3-time champ. We got a lot of 3-time, 2-time champs in there. We'll have plenty of time in our lives to discuss that later. So I want to keep this thing going as long as we can.
Right now, Steph Curry, you are a dynasty team. You've won back-to-back. You've won 3 in 4 years. And honestly, unless there's some other super team that comes up somewhere, who's beating them? Who's beating this team? I mean, they've got future all-stars in Curry and Durant. You've got a fabulous player in Klay Thompson. You've got Draymond Green, whether you like him or not. And if you're a Warrior fan, you love him. If you're not, you despise him. But he's perfect for your guys. You have depth. You've got experience on your bench. You've got a pretty good head coach. You're a dynasty right now. And I don't see anybody beating them in the next couple of years. Who? Who's going to beat them? Who? Houston? Maybe. If they get LeBron, maybe. But I don't know that LeBron's going to go to the West. Maybe LeBron decides to stay in the East. Maybe he takes, you know, a Philly team. And I keep hearing, you know, L.A.? Maybe. Lakers? Maybe. I don't know. But I know right now, 3 in the past 4, back-to-back? Yeah, Warriors are a dynasty. 1-800-919-3776. Jose's in the Bronx. What's up, Jose? Anthony, can you punch him up, please? My board just froze. There we go. Hey Jose, what's up?
Hey, what's up? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, man.
I agree with some of the callers, man. It's tough when Dave's on. I love him. But if you even dare even be slightly critical of LeBron, he'll yell at you, hang up on you.
That's not Dave. I don't believe Dave Rothenberg is like that. Jose, you're picking on Dave because he's not here. You call Dave back. You call Dave back later today when he's on with Canty Live at the Landon Collins softball of the Giants. And you give him a chance to defend himself. Don't talk about him when he's not here. All right, Jose, what's up?
No,
what's up, Jose?
A couple points. One on LeBron, one on KD. I think that, I don't know about you, but it bothered me right after Game 3, Winhurst came on and brought up the ankle injury.
Yeah.
It was kind of annoying. And then after Game 4, immediately after the game, he's bringing up the hand. And then LeBron is at the press conference scratching his face with the hand and talking about it. It just rubbed me the wrong way. That's a kind of argument against the LeBron and Jordan comparison that bothers me when. So, you know, I think the argument is over, like Barkley said. But that doesn't mean that he's not great. I feel like if you don't say he's the greatest ever, you get yelled at.
It's
but
true.
I don't
it's
know. It bothered me. And then about KD, I just wanted to say that I don't know if we're giving him enough credit. He's the difference. I believe the last 2 years of them winning the title, he took it to Bron last year, and then you could tell this year that I felt like LeBron didn't want any parts of him defensively, and I think that was a difference in game 2 and 3. I don't know what you thought about it.
I spoke about it, Jose. Thanks for the phone call. I was concerned that he did not step up to try to do something with KD in game 3. I was concerned about that. I thought he should have. I thought that's what LeBron has always done. That's what LeBron would do in that situation. He didn't do it. And so I was surprised and disappointed. To defend Brian Windhorst, that's news. If you find out that LeBron's got an ankle injury, if you find out that he's got a hand injury and how he hurt that hand, that's news. He's obligated to report it. I understand that to the fans, it looks as though it's an excuse for LeBron, but it's news. And his job is to find news and break stories. As a reporter, if I found out that LeBron James broke his hand while attempting a one punch knockout of a blackboard in the studio, in the locker room, I'm reporting it. That's my job. Now, you may interpret it as something different, but that's a reporter's job, to take you behind the scenes to find out stories that could affect what you're watching. It's your decision to say, well, okay, it's an excuse, or that's not the reason why they lost. I mean, clearly, it's not the reason why he didn't go out and challenge people last night defensively, because he had a broken right hand. That's not the reason he didn't put a hand up. Okay, that wasn't it. That wasn't why he didn't close out on Steph Curry on a couple of occasions. That's not why. But his job, Windhorst's job, is to report that. Any reporter, that's their job, to let you know what's going on.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.